As we were worshiping in first service, God reminded me of a verse. It's found in Ezekiel. And in Ezekiel 22, God has a call out. And so I want to challenge you this morning. If you have a Bible, go ahead and get that out. You can turn to Judges chapter 2 is where I'll be for a little bit. But I will be all over the place. So you'll not only need your Bibles, but I'd encourage you to take notes. I'd encourage you to write things down. Wives, look at your husbands right now and say, he's talking to you. Go ahead, tell him, all right? Just so we know, we want to write notes down. We want to know because I believe God has, again, put us in this place, not by accident, not by mistake, but God has given us this moment of senior recognition, of tragedy in the moment. And Pastor Brandon, I don't know how you read anything today, bro. College graduate, a high school graduate, man, I was like, bro, I almost come up and just hugged you, man. Like, I'm with you, man, I'm with you. But you did incredible. But in Ezekiel 22, there's a verse that the Lord just lays out for us. And it's a verse I have no doubt you've read before, probably heard before, but I think it's a verse for us to consider today because I believe in this moment, I believe in this time that God has put Keystone Church, look at somebody around you and say, that's us. Go ahead, tell them, that's us. I believe God has put us in this incredible place in this season to be a light that this community needs like never before. And in Ezekiel 22, God just lays out a challenge. Now listen to this. He says, and I sought for a man among them. See, I believe God is looking for a man. God is looking for a woman. God is looking for a people. Listen, I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the gap. Listen, before me, oh my goodness, on behalf of the people. So God says he's looking for a man. He's looking for a woman. He's looking for a people. Might I be so bold this morning to say God is looking for a church who would stand in the gap between God and his people, between God and the land. Listen, so that he should not destroy it. So get the picture. God in his love and providence is seeking for people to be restored into right relationship with him. We know that comes only through Christ Jesus, the cross, the empty cross, the empty grave, the risen Savior. There is a hope. Hope has a name. His name is Jesus. Amen? Yeah. And so God is looking for people who on behalf of the land would say, come to Jesus. You need Jesus. He's the answer. Jesus is where it all begins. But look at what the verse says. One of the saddest statements I've read in Scripture is this right here. It says, but I found not one, not two, not ten. Listen, I found none. I wonder if the Lord showed up to Keller today and he said, I'm looking for a church, I'm looking for a people, I'm looking for somebody who would be serious about taking my son, his name, his fame through the power of the Holy Spirit to this area, to your workplace, to your neighborhood, to your schools, to this community. I wonder if there is one. And I just have to believe this morning, here's what God's saying to us in the house. Not arrogantly, not pridefully, but Keystone, I want you to hear me right now. And I believe this may even be prophetically. You're the one. The only question is, will you be the one? Are we going to be the church that steps out and is serious, that ferociously, unapologetically go after this next generation? Let me begin by painting the picture of the next generation for you. Let me paint a picture, if I will, for a moment, of Generation Z. I spend the overwhelming majority of my days preaching, teaching, reaching, planning, thinking, praying, Lord, how can we reach this next generation? 3 years ago, I stepped away from being a senior pastor in a local church here to begin to full-time go after this next generation with our ministry. Our sole desire is, number one, to proclaim Jesus to this next generation, and then secondly, to prepare them to do the same. We want to see this generation come to know and love and follow Jesus, but let me paint a picture for you. When I talk about Gen Z, what am I talking about? I'm talking about those born between 1997 to about 2012. So they're the last generation of the 1900s. Come on, somebody, all right? That's either scares you, frightens you, I don't know. They're fifth grade to just right at post-college. They're the most racially diverse generation we've ever known in the United States. They're the most digitally connected generation, but they're also the most isolated generation we've ever known. Anxiety, depression, fear at all-time highs. They are digital natives. You'll know a Gen Zer if you're an adult in the house and you're going, I just can't figure this out, and they say something like this, give it to me. Come on. And about 2.7 seconds later, they're like, there. And you're like, what just happened? That's Gen Z. They love social media. As a matter of fact, when surveyed, over 90% of Gen Z teens say they are almost always on social media. Now, when I say social media to adults, they ain't talking about Facebook, all right? They're on Instagram, they're on YouTube, they're on Snapchat, and they're on TikTok. If you don't know what those are, don't ask. Or maybe you should ask. They're connected. They're always engaged. But they are a generation that we're looking at right now. And there are three things I want you to see about this generation, though, spiritually. Number one, spiritually, this generation is lost. They're lost. By and large, they are a post-Christian generation. They are a generation that are represented by some of these tubes up here. As a matter of fact, this first one represents Generation Z in this way. 40% of Gen Z teens claim to have no religious affiliation at all. 40% claim to have no religious affiliation at all. They identify as atheist, agnostic, or what are called nuns. Don't think Catholic nun, all right? Not N-U-N, N-O-N-E. They are identified self as nuns. They have no religious affiliation at all. 40%. They are lost. They are described, I believe, in the founding verse of our ministry, Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, that says this: there grew up a generation after them, and it says, this generation knew not the Lord, nor what, everybody, nor what he had done. See, in Judges 2:10, it was a generation that came up after Joshua and Caleb and Moses, all these mighty men and women of God who sought God, loved God, saw God do crazy stuff. But yet another generation came up after them, and they knew not the Lord. Not unlike today, where 40% of Generation Z teens say, listen, I'm atheist, agnostic, or I have no religious affiliation at all. But it's not just that they didn't know the Lord. Do you realize this? It says, and they did not know what? What? Say it, somebody. He, what, had done. They're not just post-Christian, this generation. They're also biblically illiterate, which is actually pictured right here. There's 100 ping pong balls in this. If I drop this, it is going to be a mess. But there are only 4 orange balls. Do you realize in a recent survey, only 4%, 4 out of every 100 Gen Z teens hold to a biblical worldview. 4 out of every 100 hold to a biblical worldview. See, when I tell you Generation Z is a lost generation, I want you to know that they are spiritually lost, and many of those inside the churches are spiritually ignorant. They may know God, but they don't know the things of God. Thus, they view the world through the lens of the world, not through the lens of the Bible. And so they are in need of Jesus and needing to grow in Jesus. They are lost. Also, this generation, they're lonely. Yes, indeed, they are the most digitally connected generation we've ever known. Like, y'all can hang out with people in Japan that I never would have known. We had to pen pal that bad boy. Y'all know what I'm saying? Like, anybody ever have a pen pal, by the way, right? If y'all don't know what that is, good lunchtime conversation with your parents, okay? Literally, pen. Never mind. You're like, I'm talking to my buddy in China right now. This is crazy, right? But you're connected. But they're also the most socially isolated. 35% of teens have said they've had suicidal thoughts within the last 2 weeks. Do you realize that suicide is now the second leading cause of death amongst teens in the U.S.? It is in epidemic proportions. It is mind-blowing. This generation, they are lost. They are lonely. But listen to me, they are also looking. They're searching. 2/3 of every teen in the U.S. says that their spiritual journey is important to their life. Now, only 60% have some kind of religious connection, but 2 out of every 3 teens says, you know what? But my spiritual journey is important. So they're looking, they're seeking, they're chasing, they're looking for something. It's a lot like what Jesus saw when he says he was walking through the crowds, and as he locked eyes with the crowds, he said, he had compassion on them. Why? Because they were what, church? They were harassed and what? Helpless, like what? Sheep without a shepherd. I want to paint this picture of Generation Z for you because, listen, this morning we can either go, whoo, man, those are heartbreaking, man. Those are mind-numbing, man. I don't know. See, these kind of stats and this reality, we got to pull back the curtain and go, something is not working. Something is broken. Something must be done. So we can either isolate and insulate, listen, or church, we can infiltrate. And I believe God is calling us to not back up, to not bow down, but to step into the mess, to get in and get involved, to make sure that we go after this next generation, that there's not a teenager that leaves this place that doesn't know there is hope, and hope has a name. Come on, church, and his name is Jesus. See, I want you to get the picture. I want you to see the picture of Generation Z. Now, I'm a big picture guy. I'm a visionary. As a matter of fact, a couple years ago, I told my wife, I said, I believe God wants us to be part of training 1 million teenagers across the globe on how to share their faith. I believe God wants us to be part of equipping teens who know Jesus and love Jesus to be able to have daily conversations with their friends, with their family, with their peers about Jesus, because I can't reach them, but they can. 1 million by 2030. And my wife's just sitting there kind of nodding her head. I said, what do you think about that? She goes, that's great. With all the love in her heart, she said, how are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? I'm like, I don't know. But isn't that awesome? I mean, you know, so that's me. So listen, my heart and passion beats for the next generation, and the picture of them is they're lost and they're lonely and they're looking. But let me tell you, church, there's not just a picture, there's a plan. What my wife was asking me in that moment is, what's your plan? How are we going to get it done? Just like any good vision, we have to put strategy to that vision. And so I believe there's a plan to reach Generation Z. And in a lot of ways, Pastor Brandon, I just feel like I'm preaching to the choir right here. So let me preach to the choir for a moment. Because some of you, it's just going to be, we doing that, we doing that, we nailing that, boom. But for some of us in the room, we're going to be like, I need in. What's the plan to reach Generation Z? Number one, if you want to reach the next generation, you have to invest in the next generation. You have to invest in them. So when we give to this church of our time, when we give of our money, when we give of our resources, when we give of our wisdom, you mean to tell you what you're doing? You're investing, you're sowing seeds into the next generation. I love what Paul wrote to the church in Galatians when he said this. He said, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Amen. Come on, somebody. What? Will what? Reaps what he... See, your grandma did not make that up, okay? Like that's not grandma wisdom. That's biblical wisdom. You reap what you sow. And do you want to know why 3,000 churches close their doors every year in the U.S.? I didn't stutter. 3,000 churches close their doors every year in the U.S. You want to know why? Because they decided to stop sowing into the next generation. Like, you have no idea. You have no idea what just bringing these beautiful graduates on stage will mean for them a year from now, 2 years from now, 10 years from now. When they have teenagers and it's senior recognition day, they're going to be like, I remember being at Keystone and I stood on that very stage and Pastor Brandon just tearfully read a, I love it, man, tearfully read a blessing over us. That one moment could change the trajectory of all of their life. Simple investments, financially, in time. I love the fact that y'all got crew leaders that go with them every. Woo-hoo. Hey, if you're a crew leader, let's give it up for the crew leaders. Come on, somebody. I mean, let me tell you. Listen, I've been on staff and I've been a pastor. Look, I ask people to sign up for 6 months. They're like, I don't know. Y'all asking for, what an investment, what a vision. The plan is to invest in them. And I know, you know what? But you get tired. Hey, parents in the house, parents, any of y'all ever get tired? Come on, somebody. Raise your hand or else I feel like alone and an idiot up here, all right? So yeah, like we feel tired, right? But look at this promise just a couple of verses later. He says, so don't become weary. Keystone, don't become weary in investing in them. Yeah, some of y'all, I feel like we're always talking about the next generation. I feel like we're always just talking about them, pouring in them, doing things for them. Yes, amen, and don't stop. Why? Because look, don't become weary in doing good. Why? For in the proper time, say it with me, church, we might... Oh, okay, good. I just make sure you're reading. Just making sure, all right? We what? We will. Say it again. We will. Say it again, church. We will reap a harvest. If what? If we don't give up. Don't give up. Look at somebody right now and say, don't you dare give up. Tell them right now, don't you dare give up. Keep running, keep investing, keep pouring in. So if we want to reach the next generation, man, we want to see them come to Jesus. We want to see Keller revival sparked and happening. We invest in them. Secondly, we invite them. Man, I read this, like I was perusing the website this week. I'm not gonna lie. And I think these points are on, like, I'm like, this is crazy town. This is God like putting stuff, I'm like, what? Like, I didn't write this sermon from your website, I promise, okay? But you invest in them and you invite them. See, every teenager, every Gen Z, or every student, every elementary age kid ought to know Keystone Church is a place, listen, where you are wanted and you are welcome. You are wanted and you are welcome. It reminds me of when Jesus telling the parable, right? He says, hey, the master told the servants. Jesus told the people, what? Go out to the roads and the country lanes and what? And come on, church, invite them to come in so that my house may be full. There's still a couple empty seats in here. We got room. We got room. Listen to me close. There should not be a week that goes by, if you're a member of Keystone Church, there should not be a week that goes by that you don't invite somebody to join you on Sunday. I'll say it again. There should not be a week that goes by that you should not invite somebody to join you on Sunday. How many of you work with people? You work with people? How many of you live by people? You live by people? How many of y'all go to 151 with people, right? Or Starbucks or Scooter, poor Scooters. I don't know, man. You know, I don't know. I don't know where your jam is. I don't know which one you like. I mean, it's your choice, right? I'm not a coffee connoisseur. Just give me caffeine, all right? That's all it is for me. Listen to me. What? How many of you go to the grocery store? There's people. You go to ball games, there's people. You go to practice, there's people. You walk the neighborhoods, there's people. There should not be a week that goes by where you don't just say, hey, listen, I don't know if you go to church anywhere or not, but I just want you to know, if you ever want to go to church, I go to Keystone Church. It's that beautiful white building right there on the main track. Come on, somebody, for where God put us. Woo, man, come on. Man, when I saw Pastor Brandon, when I saw the renderings of the building, I was like, boom, that's money right there. That's so good. That looks so sharp. People cannot drive by and go, what? What is that? And here's what we need to do. Hey, just come. Just come. I'll save you a seat. Come be with me. I'll take you to lunch. Come. You've got to come and see what God is up to. See, we've got to let them know, hey, man, we're investing in them. We're inviting them. And listen, when we invite, here's why you invite people to Keystone. Because of the third point, you've got to introduce them. Here's why you invite people here. I listen to Pastor Brandon. You know what I love about him? You know what I love about Susie? You know what I love about people? They're going to make sure they tell people about Jesus. They get it. Do you know why it's important for you to get here? Because we're going to point you to Jesus. We're going to make much of Jesus. We're going to blow Jesus up in the house. He's the deal. He's the King. He's the Lord. He's God. He's the hope. Why? Hope does have a name, and his name is Jesus. This is why we say come to Keystone, not to blow Keystone up, but to point people to Jesus. I love what Paul said. He said, here's a trustworthy saying, deserving of full acceptance. Here it is. Christ who? Jesus. Came into the world to save who? Sinners. You know I don't give up on Gen Z. Hey, graduate, you know I'm not giving up. You know what amps me up about y'all? Jesus came for y'all. Just like he came for us Gen Xers. Y'all don't even know there's a generation called Gen X. We're off the map. It's millennials, boomers. We're where's the Xers? I don't know, right? But yeah, it's all right. We did anyway. So think about this. There's hope. Jesus came to save sinners. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, Jesus came. And so students, we want to point you to Jesus. We want to make much of Jesus. Invite, invest, introduce. And here's what you guys do so well. I was here just a few Wednesday nights ago, several now. You know, when you're my age, everything's a few, but it is several Wednesday nights ago. And here's what, I've never seen the involvement of students like I did here. And I love that. And it's not just a Wednesday thing. I see them on Sunday. Serving, doing. I walk through the office while I go. There's these teenagers. I'm like, what are y'all doing? They're like, oh, we're doing social media posts. I'm like, get it. Smart church right there, all right? Again, what should I post? Give me the phone, all right? And they got it done. All right, it looks good. We're good with it, all right? Videos up, words scrolling, people smiling. So I'm saying this, if you want to reach them, you've got to involve them. Unapologetically, get students involved. Behind the scenes, on the stage, at the doors, in the hallways, parking lots, put them wherever. Get them serving. Here's what I love. I have a 12-year-old who's going into seventh grade. This is what I love about Gen Zers. She's one of them. She knew we were coming to both services today, all she's ever known is ministry, so you got to forgive me on this. But she says, hey, can I go to one and then serve in the other one? And I'm like, I don't know, babe. They probably got to do a background check on you. They know your dad. I don't know, all right? Maybe next week, okay? But I love that about this generation. They want to be involved. They want to be, and if we don't get them involved, they will find somewhere else to get involved. And so we got to open up doors of opportunities to get them involved. Students, can I just read this verse over you? I know you've heard it. You've been in student ministry long enough, but can I remind you of this? Hey, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. I'll say it again. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. But, say it with me, church, set an example. Man, I was here a few Wednesday nights ago. I got a peek behind the scenes and watched all the happenings up here. I was like, what is happening? This is incredible. These students serving and running cameras and leading worship behind us. And you don't even know there's a dungeon back there where stuff happens. It's crazy stuff, man. I'm like, what is this, right? I was scared to touch anything. I'm like, nope. My mom's voice rang in my head, put your hands in your pocket, all right? I was like, yes, ma'am. Get them involved. Set the example, students. Set the example for believers in speech and life and love and faith and in purity. See, the picture is they're lost, they're lonely, and they're looking. But the plan is we invest in them, we invite them, we introduce them, we involve them. But lastly, let me just say there's a power. There is power to reach this next generation. And I just have to believe Pastor Brandon said it so well. Here's what he said. We will not stop praying. We have a saying around our ministry, prayer is the power. I'll speak to over 10,000 students this summer. I will not change a single one of them, but Jesus can. And so when we ask people, hey, pray for us, pray for us. Like, I mean that. I don't take prayer lightly. We take it seriously. We have a prayer tribe about, I think there's 1,200 people in a text message deal that we send out. Every week we'll send out, hey, Ryan's headed here. Pray for this camp. Why? Because we believe prayer is the power. You want to know what? Like, you don't get this property right here in Keller. Like, let me tell you something. All hell did not want Keystone on this corner. You know why it's here? Not because we're like smarter than everyone else, more shrewd than anyone else. We ultimately, God did this. And God's doing this. Because God ain't done. You know why I ain't done? Because we ain't dead. He ain't done. So I believe there's a power to reach Gen Z, and I believe it begins by us interceding for them, praying for them. By the way, if you have a prayer list, you ought to put Gen Z on the top. Second should be Generation Alpha. Gen Z, Gen Alpha. Pray for them. Now generation, pray over them, pray for them. Ask God to begin to stir up in them. Why is prayer so important? Here's why prayer matters, Ephesians 3:20. By the way, if this verse is not highlighted, circled, underlined, stars by in your Bible, it needs to be. Because look at what he says. Now to him, that's the Lord, who, come on, what is what? Able. I'm sorry, our God is what?
Able.
I almost heard you. He's what?
Able.
He's able to do, oh my goodness, what? Immeasurably more. I love this next part. Than all we can ask or even imagine. Can I tell y'all a story about 1 million cent, about us having the goal to train 1 million students to share the gospel by 2030? You know what my first goal was? 100,000. I was like, Lord, I believe we can train 100,000 students around the globe to share the gospel by 2030. It was like the Lord just whispered to me and said, yeah, you can do that. And then the Holy Spirit's like, but what can I do? What can I do? I just believe. I mean, 40, 50, see how many students were up here? Do you have any idea? 40, 50, whatever. How many? 40-something. I'm just believing the next year or two, there's going to be 80-something, then 120-something. Then like the whole high, we had to rent out a different place to do this thing, right? What? Some of y'all are like, oh, that'll never happen. I'm sorry, did you just read the verse on the screen? Like, God can do it. And so we've got to intercede for them, but we've got to intercede with intentionality. I'll say this a million times. We will never reach the next generation, the now generation, this generation. We'll never reach them accidentally. We're not just going to wake up one day and go, whoa, look at all the teenagers around here. That happened by accident. Not going to happen. It takes intentionality, because look at what he says. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Uh-oh. It was not a period there. Because if y'all are like me, sometimes you're like, God's got this. No. According to the power that is at work. Where? I'm sorry? Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. Go ahead and tell them right now, okay? Within us. Do you know what God's plan is to reach the world? Here it is. You. Me. We're God's plan. go ahead and look around. It's a messy plan. That's why he's able to do more. Here's what I would love to do. If you are part of the now generation, you're a teenager, junior high, high school, even elementary kid, if you're in this room and you're under 18, would you stand up right now? Just stand up all over this place. You're 18 or under, stand up all over this place. Yeah, we can clap. Come on. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Love it. Woo. Stay standing. Stay standing. Because I know y'all thought I forgot one. I didn't. Y'all like, oh, he forgot one. I know some of you moms out there go, he should have written it down. I got it. I got it. Here's why I saved this for last. You know what this is a picture of? 70% of anyone who ever says yes to Jesus as King. 70% of anyone who ever comes to Christ, who bows the knee to him as leader and Lord of their life, 70% of them do so by the time they're 18 years old. While y'all are standing, if you in the house are a follower of Jesus and you said yes to him as King by the time you were 18 years old, hold your hands up high. Hold up high. Please look around the room. Like, I'm not making stuff up. I'm not just spitting out preacher stats. Put them down. You tell me where we need to be pouring time, energy, effort, resources. Because listen, if your friends hasn't been reached by the time they turn the tassel, the likelihood that they ever will drastically reduces. If we haven't reached them by the time they reach out for that diploma, the likelihood that they ever will say yes to Jesus as King drastically reduces. Ryan, why are you so passionate about the now generation? Why are you so passionate about going after Gen Z? Our ministry is called Rage Ministries. It stands for Reaching a Generation Endangered. If we don't reach them by the time they graduate high school, the likelihood they'll ever come to Jesus drastically falls off. So students that are standing, how are your friends going to be reached? I'm not coming to your school. The likelihood that they're ever going to hear me preach is slim to none. But you know who they can hear about Jesus from? I saw one dude raise his hand. That'd be, yeah. You and 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 you. How's your generation going to be reached? You got to do it. You can do it. Why? Because our God is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine according to the power that is at work where? Do this. Every student, do this. In me. Who's in you? The Holy Spirit of God. Here's what I'd love for us to do. If you're close to one of these teenagers, or if you're a parent and you want to get closer, I just want to lay hands on them and pray over them. So if you're around one of these teenagers standing up, don't be weird. Just put your hand on their shoulder, and we're going to pray for them. So everyone find a student around you, near you, whatever. Hey, adults, if you need to get by your kid, go ahead. Ain't nobody going to be mad about that, all right? There should not be a student around here that does not have someone standing, praying over them. And I want you, when you get there right now, begin praying for them right now out loud. Don't wait for me to say go. Don't wait for me to do anything. I will pray in just a moment and we will close. But I want you right now, church family, to begin to pray out loud. Even if you're not up near a student, would you begin to pray right now for Generation Z? Out loud, not in your head, not in your heart. Let them hear you praying for them. Lord God, move in Generation Z. Pray that God would raise them up, send them out, save them, fill them. Pray the Holy Spirit of God would use them to be world changers, revival starters, community shifters. Pray We may have the next president of the USA in this room. Pray over them. Pray blessings. Pray protection. Pray provision. Pray power over them. Pray that they would not fall to the ways of the world, but they would pursue Jesus all the days of their life. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we believe in the next generation. We believe there is hope in the now generation, because hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. And Lord, we know today, no matter how far we are from you, we can come to you because of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for parents. I pray for grandparents. I pray for moms and dads. I pray for single moms and single dads. I pray for teenagers who are longing and looking and lost, that today they would find you, Jesus. You would send them a friend who would say, Jesus loves you. Jesus can save you. Just come to him. Lord, thank you for Keystone Church. And I pray right now for this body of believers to continue to expand, to grow deep, to go far. And I pray that you would use Keystone Church as a lighthouse in this community, that they would link arm with other churches in the area, that we would come together and see this generation in our community know about Jesus. God, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to know you, to love you, and to make you known. Would you send us out to do just that in Jesus' name? And everyone in the house said, amen.
Amen. Amen.